judges led Israel, there was a famine in the land. A man from Bethlehem in Judah left home to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. In Moab, the man died, leaving his wife Naomi and her two sons. The sons married Moabite wives, Orpah and Ruth. They lived there in Moab for the next 10 years. But then the two sons died. Now the woman was left with neither her young men or her husband. One day she got herself together to leave the country of Moab and set out home. She heard that God had been pleased to visit his people and give them food. And so she started out on the road back to the land of Judah. After a short while on the road, Naomi told her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back, go home and live with your mothers, and may God treat you as graciously as you treated your dead husbands and me. May God give each of you a new home and a new husband." She kissed them, and they cried openly. They said, "No, we are going on with you to your people." But Naomi was firm. Go back, my dear daughters. Why would you come with me? No, my dear daughters, this is a bitter pill for me to swallow, more bitter for me than for you. God has dealt me a hard blow. Again, they cried openly. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth embraced her and held on. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is going back home to live with her own people and God. Go with her." But Ruth said, "Don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I'll go, and where you live, I'll live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I'll die, and that's where I'll be buried. So help me, God. Not even death itself is going to come between us." When Naomi saw that Ruth had a heart set on going with her, she gave in, and so the two of them travelled on together to Bethlehem.
This morning, it strikes me that as we were singing some of those songs and just thinking about the week and what we prayed earlier, that actually we spend probably particularly this week and over the last few weeks, spend quite a lot of our time, I don't know about you, but certainly with our gaze, if you like, personally on the things of the world, things of our nation, and rightly so. And we've spent time together corporately and I'm sure individually praying about some of those things. But as we look today at the story of Ruth, you've seen the clip already, it struck me just as we were singing that actually today I feel it's permission time to actually really draw back in and think about ourselves and about our own lives. And some of the story of Ruth, as I've been looking at it and studying it and kind of simmering over it, as you always do, you would think, why haven't I read this before? And why doesn't you let it kind of dig deep into you before? But actually, it speaks to me on a really personal level, and I hope it will do for you as we give ourselves permission. This comes in the series, as you'll know, of looking at God's stories of grace. And you may have picked up from the clip already or from your own readings of Ruth, if you read the book of Ruth in the Bible before, that it is a story of God's grace, but of many other things as well, and we'll look at a few of those things together this morning. Now, I don't know how you're feeling sitting here today or how you've felt this weekend, but my guess is that for quite a few of us, you come into this weekend bulldozing in from the week that's preceded it, whether it's been a very busy week or a slow and steady week. But chances are, I'm sure a few of you sitting here would say, "Do you know what? I'm just exhausted. I'm at the end of my human resources. I'm worn out. I've been juggling these people, running left, right and centre." And things pull us in lots of different directions, don't they? For some of us, that might be fulfilling different roles. I'm sure for those of you who are children, rather parents of young children, that you'll know that feeling all too well. They're being pulled from pillar to post. If you're actually the child and you're caring for an elderly relative or an elderly friend who lives in your community, then actually, again, you probably at times can feel that sense of this is exhausting. And actually, it's sometimes we can feel really worn out, sometimes even self-pitying in the midst of that, to just be recognising all that we've given and we've given and we've given. It may be that actually for some of us it's in the workplace that actually, you know, we're having to file in, do what our bosses want us to do, again, putting the pressures on ourselves or having the pressure put on us. And sometimes that too can make us feel just exhausted, hard done by. As a student at college or at university, similarly, the demands are there, aren't they? In any caring role, we know that sometimes it's okay just to admit, I'm at the end of it, I have nothing more to give. And it's difficult. And sometimes in the midst of that, we sometimes just feel that it's never enough, is it? That what we do is never good enough, it's never appreciated enough. Certainly as parents, and you sometimes feel like that, don't you? That we just give and give and give, and sometimes it's just not enough. And it's all right to recognise that we feel like that, I believe, because God understands that as much as anything else. And sometimes we just need to hold our hands up and say, I'm tired, we're overstretched, and ask for God's goodness in the midst of that. Well, why do I mention that? Because I think in the story of Ruth, it strikes me that actually what we see here is that she's got a lot to teach us about this sense of actually what it is to be in a situation, whether it be work or with people in our family, our community, and our church family, where actually there's a sense of it being costly love. That actually the more that we give, the more that we stretch out, reach out to others, sometimes it is costly love. And we see that in Ruth, this sense of relentless loyalty. We'll pick out the bits of her story in just a moment. But wherein her self-sacrificial love, the giving of herself, actually what God shows us through this story is that he really honours her in that and gives back abundantly in return. Because of her obedience, he gives back to her more than she could ever have imagined, actually. So we're going to look at a few different aspects of Ruth's story that have struck me. And it fascinates me that actually Ruth is one of those books which you've either read or you haven't. It's kind of tucked away in the story of the Bible. It's not one of the big prominent stories that maybe we'd talk about. For some, it might be something that speaks of real value and is precious to you. But for many of us, we'd probably say it's just tucked away in there. But it is a story of God's grace. And it shows us what it really looks like for each of us to really love our family, to really love our friends, to really serve in our places of work or of ministry. And that will look different, and rightly so, for each and every one of us. But behind the scenes there, what we see here is a picture of how God really works all these things, all this sacrificial love together for the sake of his purposes, and works all these things together for good. So as we look first at this sense of costly love and loyalty, well, I'm sure if I was to even prop that in your mind, you'll immediately think of those to whom you feel the most loyal. And I started to think, what in our films and in our media around us actually starts to demonstrate some of these things? I wonder if you can think of films you might have even seen recently that spring to mind. Well, Darren and I recently watched the film Sully, which is about Tom Hanks in the role where he lands the plane on the Hudson River, I think, in New York, isn't it? Is that right? And the sense of the risk and the cost to him meant that actually he took a decision to go above and beyond what was expected, and he landed that plane safely on the Hudson River in New York, where nobody was injured. There might be other films that you think of. Those, I know a few of you guys from the church went and saw Hacksaw Ridge. And The Secret Life of Pets, again, shows a story of sacrificial love and cost. And hands up anyone who's seen the film Moana. There's quite a few of you. I knew amongst the adults there'd be a few. We might sneer at that, thinking, actually, it's just a kid's film. But many of these films are great, aren't they, having the dual messages. But in Moana, a massive big hit of a film that's been out over the last year, again, you see a sense of actually in the story, this sense of growing family, of friendship, of loyalty, of self-sacrifice, and how people put themselves out to the benefit of other people and grow a sense of community and even social justice and social responsibility in the midst of that film. So as we stop to look around, there's quite a lot of examples around us of where we see people showing examples of costly love, what it means to go beyond what's required, as I've called this talk this morning. But what we see here is that actually where people put themselves out, where they give and give and give, there is usually a sense of selflessness in the midst of it, because the benefit is often to other people. But often, and let's hope this is always the case, there is usually something where the individual, the loyalty of the individual, is paid back in return. So what does this look like for us in the book of Ruth? Well, in the Old Testament, we see this portrayal of Ruth, which to my mind is her sacrificial love in complete abundance. So you saw on the clip, you may know already, but what we see is a picture of Naomi, who, due to the famine in Israel, has moved down the country to a place in Moab. So she came down with her two sons and her husband, and they sought out food and shelter and safety in Moab. And her sons married two Moabite women. Now, even that would have been quite controversial, because actually the Israelites hated the Moabites. But they got married to two women, as we've heard, Ruth and Orpah. And in what was a tragic series of events, all three of the men died, the two sons and her husband. So it's left both Naomi and Ruth and Orpah all as widows. So in the midst of that, I'm thinking, I'm sure, what do I do now? What does my life look now? And reassessing what her life could be. What she decides to do is, as the famine has ended, she decides that actually she'll go back to Israel. But she's completely on her own. But out of care and concern for her two daughter-in-law, she says to them, do you know what? Don't come with me. I'm going to go it alone. Stay in Moab, your homeland, where you were brought up and your family and your community is. Stay there, because you will surely find new husbands to recreate life for yourself. So I wonder if you were to put yourself in those shoes, if you were the daughter-in-law or if you were the son-in-law and had that conversation, I wonder what your automatic instinct maybe would be. Well, what we see is a picture of two halves almost. There's Orpah, who embraces her mother-in-law and listens to what she has to say and no doubt goes away and thinks about it, but actually decides, you know what, you're right. This is my homeland. I'm more likely to create a life for myself here. I'm going to stay. And so she bids Naomi farewell and she goes back into Moab to go and make a new life for herself. Ruth, on the other hand, as we see, quite a different picture. Ruth downright refuses to leave her mother-in-law. And she makes this profound commitment to Naomi, saying that she will not allow Naomi to go on to Israel on her own, but actually she'll accompany her and go with her. And she says these amazing words that will come up on the slide. You might be familiar with these. But this is what Ruth says. She says, don't ask me to leave you and to turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I'll be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. If you read those words and put yourself into that position, I wonder whether any of us would say, yep, I'd make that decision, I'd do exactly the same. I think that is a profound commitment of Ruth's, isn't it? To say, basically, let's have a little look at what she was saying. So this lowly woman, Ruth, who's a widower herself, basically chooses to give her entire life to her mother-in-law. Now, let's just pause on that for a moment, I think. If you're a daughter-in-law, I wonder whether you would actually make that decision yourself as to commit in the same way to your mother-in-law. But she says these words, basically saying, wherever you go, I'll go. So basically, I'll live wherever you choose, Naomi. You can go for it and I'll just follow on. Your people will be my people. So I'll leave the home and the community and the home turf that I've been brought up on. And you decide, but I'll follow you to a place where basically I probably won't know anyone, but it's enough for me to come with you. And like we said, actually, with this unrest between the Israelites and the Moabites, actually the chances were that Ruth going with Naomi meant that as a Moabite, she would actually receive extreme hatred and prejudice as well, simply for being in Israel as a Moabite. Your God will be my God. Well, in the midst of this decision making, she's saying, actually, I will change my beliefs to follow yours out of love for you. I'll die where you die. Well, it almost sounds all well and good maybe to make that decision that she could go back on. She could change her mind and go back to Moab. But actually what we see her saying here is, no, I'm committing at this point onwards that my life will be completely intertwined with yours for the rest of my days. And may God punish me severely if I stray from that. That's really quite something, isn't it, as in a commitment. And I wonder how that challenges us in terms of our loyalty and our commitment to other people. But the gravity of what she was saying there really struck me as I was looking at this, that actually she was saying that even though I could stay, if I was Ruth, I could stay in Moab, and chances are there's loads of people here that I've grown up with. You know, there might be the boys who became men who actually could become, one of them become a future husband. I'm around my family, my community, where people know me. In the midst of that, actually, there would have been a comfort and a safety of living in that place where she could have recreated her life. So there's a deep significance in the midst of her decision making then as to how she would express this sense of loyalty to Naomi and what that meant. So if you look at that picture and the gravity of what we see actually Ruth was really saying to her mother-in-law, I just wonder how we reflect on this and what that means for us. And what do we have to learn from Ruth? Well, ultimately it was a story, wasn't it, of extreme love, of loyalty, and of her going beyond what's expected. My guess is that for many of us, we probably can think of one sphere of our lives alongside a friend, a neighbour, a loved one, a parent, a child, that we often feel like we're pushed to respond in ways that are beyond what is expected. And we sometimes maybe need to challenge ourselves in what vein, in what manner, with what response we do that. Well, living with a diehard Arsenal fan, as I am, with Darren over there, I know what it is to be extremely loyal. And whether you're a Wenger in person or a Wenger out person, that won't mean anything to some of you, and rightly so. but if you're a football fan anyway, you know the upturns and the downturns and the loyalty that it calls out to actually follow something or someone unswervingly. Now, obviously, that is a shallow example. but actually, in the midst of that, we do ask ourselves, what does it mean to unswervingly follow somebody or something in a way that is costly to us? Now, I'm aware for many of us, it may be that actually we're alongside people. We're helping them on a daily or a weekly basis is ultimately just really emotionally costly for us. And that's draining. It's tiring. It's exhausting. For other people, it may be that your work just feels physically draining and exhausting. Hopefully there's some highs as well, but I'm sure there are many of us who feel that at times it's overwhelmingly demanding on our human resources as well. If you're in leadership, leading a group, albeit a toddler group, a home group, whatever it may be, then sometimes that is extremely time demanding when we already feel time poor. We're looking after children, or as we said earlier, needy parents can demand from us a huge amount of energy and resilience. Again, that can be costly. Or if we're praying faithfully behind the scenes, interceding on behalf of others, and committing our energy and our time to be seeking God for somebody else, then that too can be really demanding on us too. So just as we think about that sense of actually Ruth having shown that amazing decision making, that sense of being loving and loyal to the degree that it actually really cost her a lot, as we've mapped out in terms of her life and her future as well, I wonder what that means to us. And the questions I'd like to just flag up on the screen, Ollie, if we could, are these, just as we reflect for a moment. Where are you being called to live out a costly love and to go beyond what's expected? And in the midst of that, I'd recognising that that might be a call from God, that could be a physical, personal need in your family, in the church community, in the area that you live. But actually, if you feel you're being called to a costly love and that demands a lot of you, what today do you need to ask maybe again, and this week maybe again, for God to do in you and through you to be able to sustain you so that you can stick the course and fulfil what he's given you to do? And the second question I've got up here is actually, who is it that you think God is calling you to be loyal to? And that could be an individual, it could be a group of people. It could be people that you serve at work, it could be the person who sits on the desk next to you. Whatever that looks like, who are you being called to live out a costly love alongside? Well, there's verses in the Bible, aren't there, that talk about what God's love is to us. And there's a few here that I picked out. John 15, verse 13 says, "There is no greater love than to lay one's life down for one's friends." John 13 says, "Love each other as I have loved you." That may be a tall order, but we can work towards that, can't we? And John 34, verse 35 says, "Everyone will know that you are my disciples because of your love, one for each other." So all of these help to encourage us that actually we should serve each other in love, but seek God in order that we have his resources to do that effectively to whatever degree he would have us do on any day or any week. Now the story of Ruth, it seems, as I said, it's kind of tucked away in the Bible there. And Ollie, if you could flash up the next slide for us. It showed me, actually, as I looked at it, it really is a story about how God, in the midst of what's going on with Ruth, really honours her obedience and her love and her loyalty in ways that pour upon her this sense of love and generosity of God as well. And so it struck me that Ruth's story would never have made the headlines, would it? It would never make the evening news because there are no twists and turns, there aren't any wars, there aren't any villains. It's not a dramatic story that if you were to ask, maybe for most of us, if you were to ask what's your favourite Bible story, if you know of a few, it's probably not one that would be up there in your top three. And actually there was other things that were going on at that time that could have well been written about and landmarked instead of Ruth's story. For example, Israel was going through a period of complete moral decline. There were foreign attacks. There was complete chaos going on in Israel. But what happened, we see here, is that God ordained Ruth and Ruth's story to be kept, to be fossilized, if you like, in that sense of having that imprint, that story in the Bible for us to learn from even today, all these many years on. So in this story, there's this sense of God really lavishing upon Ruth a sense of generosity and love, like we said, for the sake of her sacrifice. And I don't know about you, but I love it when I see people who are rewarded well for the jobs that they've done. When you see people who have served and served and served and poured out their life into people, and then suddenly something comes good and they're really rewarded for it. A simple story that I saw recently was a story of a waitress who was working, it rung bells with a film actually, a Nicolas Cage film from years ago, but this is a real life story of a waitress who had two firemen come into the cafe where she worked, and instead of giving them the bill when they asked for it, she wrote on the receipt a note to them basically thanking them for bravery, their courage and their service to their community, because there'd recently been some events where they'd stepped up even more and the firemen had a lot to be praised for. And so she cancelled their bill, she paid it herself and she gave them this note. And what happened in the day and age that we live in, they out of their gratitude to her for paying the bill, they put her note, of course, on Facebook or on social media of different kinds, and it went viral. And as they met this woman afterwards, because there was this interest that came up from the internet, they found out that actually behind the scenes, her dad was really, really ill and they couldn't, as a family, pay for the medical treatment. And so what came about, you can imagine, is that the folks who heard about it online started to raise money, and they raised enough money to fund the dad's care that he needed, and he was able to come through that. That to me is just a simple story of how actually the cost and that sense of love shown there was rewarded with love and generosity. And I was thinking about this story, I thought also there are people, almost the Christian heroes of the faith, and there's many, aren't there? But two that came to mind for me was Jackie Pullinger, who served her whole life in reaching the unreachable almost, and Mother Teresa, who put her life on the line to just selflessly give of herself and abandon herself to the love and the care of others. However, in this story, we see a woman, don't we, who again selflessly gave her life to follow her mother-in-law, to go and give of herself in that way. And so as the film showed us day after day after day, what did Ruth do? Well, she didn't live the high life with Naomi, did she? She would just simply trudge back out into the fields day after day and be going to glean the wheat so that they would have enough to eat. I don't imagine that was fun all the time for her, and she wasn't always rewarded day to day by that. But what we need to recognise too is that for her there was an element of risk and cost in that. That actually being at the back of the field following the harvesters, actually that could have been a dangerous place to be for a youngish woman. But actually for people prying around or spotting her, there was an element of risk that she took in even doing that. And yet what do we see? This sacrificial love, this work day after day to serve and provide for herself and for Naomi and to forge a life forward for them. But in the midst of that, we see this character of Boaz come through, and he spotted her, didn't he? And in the midst of spotting her, I imagine him kind of nudging his fellow workmates and just saying, who's she? Who's that woman at the back of the field? She's here day after day after day. And as he inquired about her, he found out her story. And we see Boaz, who noticed her, who heard of her story, who grew in his admiration and respect for her. He heard about her sacrifice, her love for her mother-in-law, and that she was in the field. And he decided that he would protect her. And so he went on to do that. He honoured the fact that she had given of her life in this way. And so through Boaz, we see that actually God honoured Ruth for her loyalty, for the cost, for her generosity to Naomi. So once again, what does that look like for us? What does that speak to for us? Boaz arrives on the scene. He pours out his generosity. He tells the men not even to just do their normal job, but to leave more grain so that actually she would be even better off. And a sense of grace and of abundance of generosity here. What does that mean for us? Well, to me, that just speaks that actually, just like she did day after day, that actually we just need to dig deep sometimes when life can be exhausting and the juggle is hard and the work is sometimes strenuous. But dig deep to find inside ourselves that sense of deep-rooted joy of what it is to love and to serve God. Because through this costly love, as Ruth showed us, and her loyalty to others, and for us that might be in our families or in the church, we honour God by showing this costly love to other people. Through our love for others, our family, our church family, then we serve God as we serve other people. There's that verse that says, isn't there, about what we do for one of many of us, one for each other, and we're actually doing for the Lord himself. And through this, our belief has to be that not that we do it for selfish gain, but somewhere, as we see in the story of Ruth, God will actually honour us for how we plough on, how we dig deep, and how we serve in the lives of others too. And that God's generosity is abundant, isn't it? It's beyond what we could ever need or imagine or to ask for. And even though sometimes the plod seems it's going on for a long time, Ruth's story surely should encourage us that God gives back in return. So the last thing we're going to look at briefly is just that it's interesting to me that in this story of Ruth, God isn't mentioned at all. And yet what we see, if you can have the next slide up, Ollie, please, is that actually God is all over this story, but he's working totally behind the scenes. And I like this picture of the cinema. You imagine the theatre. If you go to the theatre, you see all the performance up front, don't you? But you don't always see those people that have worked long and hard to put it all together and invested their life to see it all come to fruition. And actually what we see in the picture of Ruth is not a big show, but actually just that simple day in, day out servant of her much-loved mother-in-law, but actually God really working behind the scenes. And again, I wonder whether you sometimes just stop and pause and think, God, what's really going on here in the situations I'm in? You know, why is this difficult? Or why does this feel so hard? Or what's actually going on with my family life at the moment? Or, you know, why is this happening in church life? Whatever it may be. And what am I meant to be doing here? Well, it's good to ask those questions, because that to me is a sense of actually to seek God, to discern his heart, to ask for his guidance on what's actually going on and what he's calling us to is a good place to be, because God will answer us as we call on him for that. And I'm sure Ruth asked herself that many times, you know, did I do the right thing? Who knows? Did I make the right decision? I wonder how Orpah's getting on back in Moab when she'd stayed there. But again, she carried on serving, didn't she? And because of her service, as we said, Boaz swept in and rewarded her as part of that. And I'm sure, like you, there's sometimes things in our lives that become very cyclical and sometimes are just draining. I remember that when we first had Jacob, who's now 8 and a half, and much as I loved being first-time mum and doing all the things that we did and going off to different groups and so on, there were times when I remember Darren coming home from work one day and me just saying, can I just rant at you, please? And thankfully he said yes, otherwise I would have done it anyway. But I just said, God, all my life is it's nap time and it's cleaning bottles and it's feeding and da-da-da-da-da-da. And on I went for just thankfully only about 2 or 3 minutes, and then he let me just press pause, take a deep breath, and then carry on again. And I just needed to get it out of my system, because that was how life was and I loved it. But sometimes it's just hard work, isn't it, in the situations that we're in, whether it's work, family, friends, as we've said. And maybe Ruth had those moments too. But what we see is that as God was working behind the scenes, what happened there? Boaz wasn't just the friendly neighbour who threw the extra wheat behind her. What he decided to do, as Naomi encouraged Ruth, as we saw that funny picture of her saying, go and lie at the end of his bed and make yourself beautified and so on. But this is a cultural accepted thing of actually almost saying, I'm your servant. But actually through that, Boaz grew to not just like and respect and admire Ruth, but he grew to love her. And it became apparent that actually Boaz was part of Naomi's and Ruth's family line. And so they married, and he became, that term says, her kinsman redeemer, which meant that for Ruth, that secured her whole safety and her well-being and her safety for the rest of her life as they became married. But interesting, just as we finish here, that again, like we said, there's no mention of God in this story. And yet what provision she was given by Boaz marrying Ruth and bringing in Naomi into the family, and ensuring that she would be provided for in the situation, which had been desperate, hadn't it, with all three of those women widowed. But in that, what we see, as we saw on the clip, is that not only is she provided for in that one instant, but this little book of Ruth tucked away in the Bible, what significance it has. Because actually, if you look at Ruth and Boaz, who had baby Obed, and Obed was in the line of Jesse, and Jesse was in the line of King David. Actually, as the film showed, we track it back, that actually Ruth was King David's, who was seen as the greatest king of Israel. She was actually David's great-grandmother, and of course, in the line to Jesus. And what that says to me is what a privilege she was given to actually be able to say that she was in the line of Jesus. So as we look to finish and ponder on this story of Ruth, I wonder again what conclusions you come to as to what relevance this story does or doesn't have for us in our lives. So my suggestions would be this, is that the story of Ruth emphasises for us this sense of costly love and loyalty, this heightened sense of what it is, what it looks like for us to be loyal, one person to another, and also to God, who, as we said, was working intensely behind the scenes, manoeuvring and working things together for good. That actually each of these characters within the story, for Ruth, for Naomi, and then for Boaz, that actually they showed loyalty that went beyond what was required. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking that doesn't necessarily, to my mind, mean more. It's not always doing more. It's looking at, actually, us discern who are the few, who are the one people that we're supposed to be ministering to and alongside to go beyond what's required. And ultimately, this story shows us, too, that you don't have to be anyone great, famous, or do great and important, or things that are recognised to be important to God, do you? He loves us, he uses us, he journeys alongside us. But what is important is that we're faithful in what we do. So we can rest assured that in the small things that we do on the day to day, whether it's at work, whether it's in our family, that actually God is at work in us, isn't he? Just as he was alongside the story of Ruth, that in us and through us, he knits together his purposes that will work together for good. There's a quote, last year, it just says this, if you could have that up, Ollie. It says, with all the decision making in my life, I often have to pause to look up and remember that God is the one working behind the scenes. I say to myself, he is able to work all things out for good. I just need to submit to him and his ways, and I can rest. So I just encourage you, as we have a bit of time to think about before the next week charges on, that actually my encouragement would be just to think about who God is calling you to. And in the midst of that, how do we maybe need to resubmit ourselves into God's will to just say, use me, Lord, whatever that looks like. And if it means going beyond what's expected, then equip me for that journey. Ruth shows us what it is to live out a costly love, doesn't she, for other people, and to give what is needed, even if that's sometimes to our own self-sacrifice. And yet the promise in this story, to me, is that God never lets us go without. His abundant love and generosity and care and provision will always see that we have just what we need when we need it. And that we can too live in the sure foundation, which Ruth didn't have, which is that we are in the line of Jesus, that we're all in the family of God, and that God wants to use us in the best ways possible to serve the purposes of his kingdom. So let's just take a moment as we leave it there this morning. If you can stick the slide up there. Let's just pray together, and then I'll hand over to Carl to just think what that looks like for us if we consider this story of Ruth and go beyond what's required. Father God, I just pray that in these few moments that we have here, Lord, would you just assure us that in whatever situations we are in, whether it's ourselves, with the people that we live and work amongst, that you are at work behind the scenes. And that isn't a distant behind the scenes, that is one that is closely walking with us, behind us, in front of us, and that you will always provide a clear way of the way forward if we seek your heart and learn to listen to you. Jesus, we thank you for the story of Ruth. We thank you that she's no ordinary hero, and yet we can learn from her story that you never left her and out of what she did for you and for those around her, Lord, you gave back to her abundantly in return. And I pray, Jesus, just for us, would you just assure us, Lord, that whatever and wherever we are called to give out for the sake of others, the people that you dearly love that you've put in our lives, Lord, we will never be alone, and we will always be able to call on your strength, your courage, your spirit and your guidance to do what is needed. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's one more slide there, please, Ollie. We're going to just spend a few minutes, literally 4 minutes, with some music. Have a little think about those things that Rachel raised. Maybe just ponder on your own, or chat to neighbour, or come to the back if you'd like prayer. You're someone here who just needs to receive God's generosity. I don't know what that would look like, but you just need to know that you can receive and be part of God's generosity. So if that's you, come to the back and we'll get someone to pray with you. There's literally just 4 minutes of music, and the musicians will lead in our final songs.